I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Souls been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord. Souls been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord, in the Lord,
in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Soul's been anchored in the Lord,
the Lord. I'd sing and pray myself away.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord, in the Lord,
in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord, in the Lord.
Tries to tempt me sore. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
I'll talk to my Jesus more and more.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord, in the Lord,
in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord,
in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord until I reach the mountaintop. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord.
Yes, in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Soul's been anchored in the Lord,
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 in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord, my Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord, my Lord.
My soul's been anchored in
my
the
soul's
Lord.
Been anchored in the Lord, been anchored. Yes, my soul's been anchored in the Lord.
And what an anchor he is. Praise his name. During an earthquake in Asia some years ago, the inhabitants of a small village were generally very much alarmed. But they were at the same time surprised at the calmness and the apparent joy of an old woman whom they all knew. And so after a while, one of them addressed the old woman and said, "Mother, are you not afraid?" "No," she said, "I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world." You see, that elderly woman had anchored her faith in the only one who is unshakable. Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this weekly Bible teaching program. And I ask you, what is your life anchored to? When the storms of life are raging all around you, are you tossed about? Or do you have a sense of safety and security? I hope you'll stay with me, because in just a few moments, Dr. Yoder will be teaching us about the anchor of truth. But before he does, let's pray. Mighty God, the source of all truth, we bow before you in awe and wonder. We're so grateful that you have revealed yourself to us through your word and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Now, Father, as Dr. Yoder opens the Word, open our understanding. Help us to lay hold of the truth that will anchor our lives and enable us to hold fast in the fiercest storms life can bring. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe the basic reason for the great shift in ethics and morals in our country is that many have abandoned the idea of absolute truth. Rather, it seems, the thesis is everything is relative, and if everything is relative, then nothing is stable. There is, really, no secure anchor. It does not surprise me, then, that we have seen a massive shift in thought and conduct. I submit, there is truth that does not shift and cannot be shifted. It seems that truth, for some, is an illusion, hard to define, difficult to locate. Pilate, when he was having Jesus on trial, asked him the question, "What is truth?" Jesus had borne witness to the fact that he had come to speak the truth, and people who would listen to him would hear the truth. So Pilate asked the philosophical question, "What is truth?" Oh, philosophers have debated for years the nature of truth. They come at it from different angles, but it seems to be elusive for them. So we ask the question, where does truth come from? Perhaps we should ask the question, what is its source? But before we can answer either of those questions, we must wrestle with the problem of the nature of truth. We argue, truth must come from truth. In other words, truth can never come from falsehood. It must come from truth. I affirm, only one is transparently true. He is God. God is the only one who is transparently true. So truth is always true. Truth is never less than truth. It is always true. Now turn in your Bible to 2 Peter 1:10-14 for my scripture text and listen as I read the Holy Bible. That's 2 Peter 1:10-14. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." When anyone is truly anchored in truth, he will surely experience several comforting realities. He will experience security, for example. What a comfort the word is to us, the word security, I mean. What a comfort the word security is to us. But the apostle urges each one of us to give diligence. Give diligence. That means persevere. That means concentrate. That means persist. Persist on making your calling and election sure. Well, what is your standing with God? How sure are you about it? Have you been in conversation with Him today? Test with care that your profession is rooted in the reality of God's provision. God has made provision for us through His Son Jesus Christ. Make certain that your profession, your calling and election is secured in God's provision. If you do these things, Peter said, you will never fall. So persistence in doing is the road to security. No one who really wishes to be a Christian, a thorough Christian, will relax. You will give diligence to make sure that your calling and election is secure. No, the Christian life is not a merry-go-round with jingle bells and all the tinsel. The Christian life is an uphill climb. So the anchor for security is in truth, God's truth. Truth from the only one who is transparently true. Then, one who is truly anchored in truth will experience serenity. He will experience serenity. You know, I like that word. It contains more for me than the word peace. It conveys the idea of quiet assurance to reach the goal. Total at restness. Now, I just said a moment ago that the Christian life is not a merry-go-round. It is an uphill climb. And that is true. But even while it is an uphill climb, it is abundant in its provisions. Look at what Peter said. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Friend, that is more than just getting in there by the skin of your teeth. It is more than just under the wire. It is an abundant entrance. The glory gates will open wide. This is not the needle's eye. This is a great, wide, abundant entrance. Oh, praise God. That speaks serenity to me. Then the entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I notice that the Apostle Peter used the future tense here, shall be. The everlasting kingdom is the future experience. For I know full well that many churchmen are endeavoring to bring in the kingdom now. But you know, Jesus said, when he was before Pilate, that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Be sure you observe this fact, my friend, that Jesus put a temporal condition in that statement. He said, but now is my kingdom not from here. So we're looking for and expecting the coming kingdom. We are expecting the kingdom to come when the king comes. Amen? And I want you to notice that it is an everlasting kingdom, as Peter speaks of it. The anchor for serenity is the truth. We are assured without question that what God has spoken, he will perform. That gives us serenity. Then thirdly, he will experience stability. My friend, truth radiates stability because it is always true. When you come to truth, you will find it right where it was. Truth does not shift or change shape. It is always true. And I notice that the apostle wrote like this at the end of verse 12, and be established in the present truth. And you know, what was true in Peter's day is true today. Yes. This is also the present truth. It is always true. Refresh your memory then. Review the facts of faith. He said, I want to put you always in remembrance of these things. We should never become so far removed from the truth that it becomes strange to us. The Christian life is always true, and the Christian life is always new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, always new. Stability, then, means protection from the vacillation that is going on all around us. The Apostle Paul once wrote of being tossed to and fro with the winds of doctrine. I think that is what stability means, holding to purpose, anchored in the truth, and thus you will not be tossed to and fro. Then, work while you can. You know, my friend, life at its best, is short, extremely short. When you consider the history of the world and the existence of God in eternity, life is short. We must therefore work diligently while we can. The anchor for stability is truth, because truth never shifts, and we can have total confidence in that truth. Now, my friend, I must affirm that truth is found in God's holy word. Jesus said to the Father in his prayer in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is therefore important that you accept that truth, and when you do, you will experience the reality of security. Practice what you read, and you will never fall. You will experience serenity, a comforting knowledge of an abundant entrance. You will experience stability, so you will not be tossed to and fro with all the winds of doctrine and how they may affect you. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's pray. Almighty God, I am amazed again at how marvelously and wonderfully Thou hast provided for us. Thou hast given us the truth, unsullied truth, from the Holy Book. I pray, therefore, that my friend and I both may apply ourselves to that truth, diligently attempting to anchor in that truth, so we will have the security and the serenity and the stability that all of this brings to us. I beseech Thee, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in Thee. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smile of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in Thee. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storms of life are past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in Thee. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in Thee.
Thank you, Voice of Praise, for that fitting conclusion to Dr. Yoder's message. J.P. Moreland, in his book Apologetic Reasoning and the Christian Mind, tells of an experience that illustrates the importance of truth. He writes, "One afternoon I was sharing the gospel in a student's dorm room at the University of Vermont. The student began to espouse ethical relativism. Whatever is true for you is true for you. And whatever is true for me is true for me. But no one should force his or her views on other people, since everything is really relative." Moreland writes, "I knew that if I allowed the student to get away with ethical relativism, there could be for him no such thing as real, objective sin measured against the objective moral command of God, and thus he would have no need of a Savior. So I thanked the student for his time and I began to leave his room. On the way out, I picked up his small stereo and I started out the door with it. 'Hey, what are you doing?' he shouted. 'I'm leaving your room with your stereo. You can't do that.' But Moreland said, 'I happen to think it is permissible to steal stereos if it will help a person's religious devotion, and I myself could use a stereo to listen to Christian music during my morning devotions. Now, I would never try to force you to accept my moral beliefs in this regard, because, as you said, everything is relative, and we shouldn't force our ideas on others. But surely you aren't going to force on me your belief that it's wrong to steal your stereo, are you?' Moreland looked at the student and continued, 'You know what I think? I think you espouse relativism in areas of your life where it's convenient, say in your sexual morality, or in areas about which you don't care. But when it comes to someone stealing your stereo or criticizing your own moral hobby horses, I suspect that you would become a moral absolutist pretty quickly, don't you?' But you know, friend, even many professing Christians don't believe there's such a thing as absolute truth. In a survey, the interviewer asked these questions: Do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with the following statement? There is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct." That was the end of the question. Only 28% of professing Christians expressed a strong belief in absolute truth. So I ask, how did we arrive at such a place? Someone has said, a man's morality dictates his theology. Think about it. That's exactly what was happening in the illustration I gave you several moments ago. But as Christians, we're supposed to have that the other way around. Our theology should dictate our morality. But when we reject the revealed truth of God's Word, we open ourselves up to believing lies. You know, friend, people who don't believe the truth don't end up believing nothing. They just end up believing anything. My friend, I hope you're firmly anchored in the truth of God's Word. It's the only anchor that will hold in the storms of life. And I want to help strengthen your grip on the anchor of truth. I can do that by offering you a copy of the message you heard on today's broadcast. All you need to do is write and ask for a printed copy of this message. This message from Peter is bound in a paperback book with all the other messages from this series. So when you ask for today's message, you'll get the entire series. They're all included in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. And I'll send a copy to you if you'll just write and ask for it. If you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And today's teaching is also available on an audio CD. We invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we love to hear from our listeners. Now, once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, to listen to this teaching when it's convenient for you. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. Or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for being with me, friend. I hope you'll plan to join me again next week for the Voice of Hope. We'll continue our series with a message titled, The Foundation of Our Faith. So you plan to join us, and until we meet again,